This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1765. Don't split hairs with outdated English idioms. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. To get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try the All Ears English app for iOS and Android. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/app.
Do you get bogged down with minutiae and trivial details, or are you a big picture thinker? In this episode, we'll show you an outdated phrase about details, and you'll get 3 current ones to talk about your way of thinking.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Aubrey. How's it going today?
I'm great, Lindsay. How are you?
I am so good. I have a question for you.
Ooh, let's hear it.
So do you tend to get into little arguments over things that are not really that important?
No, actually. I do not like confrontation. Okay. So I avoid confrontation. I'm a peacemaker.
Ah.
So if something's small, whether that's with my partner or with friends, I just let it go.
You let it go.
I don't let it bother me. I'm not going to get into an argument. It has to be a really big deal. I pick my battles, as they say, where it's going to be a really big deal before I start an argument or a discussion or a fight about something. What about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm similar. I am not a drama person. I'm not good at confrontation. I don't do well. Like, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to do it in like an assertive way. So I do avoid it too. I think we saw that in your Strengths Finder, right, Aubrey? When we did our Strengths Finder quizzes, we learned that about you, the peacemaker, right? It is an archetype.
It was called Woo, which was funny. Woo. And it was saying that like very few people have the strength Woo, which is an interesting word that means you're trying to convince people to your side. You like to woo people. But it was really interesting because it talked about how people who have Woo are peacemakers.
Okay.
They like want everyone to like them. Which
it.
Is so me. They don't want to create any friction.
Interesting. Okay, so that's good to know. I love that. I mean, today we're getting into this topic of, you know, little arguments and little things that are, they don't have big repercussions in life, right? Little details, little minutiae. Just
exactly.
As a little hint for our listeners.
Yeah, we had a really great question about this. Kadir from Turkey was asking, and I'm going to go ahead and read this because it's a really great question.
Okay.
He said, there's no point in arguing over trifles. He said, in that sentence, I know the word trifle means something unimportant or not valuable, but when I'm writing an essay or a formal letter, I'd rather not use it since it sounds old-fashioned to me. Mm-hmm. What I'm looking for is a word that has the same meaning but is more up-to-date. I think this is very insightful of Kadir because it is a little old-fashioned. I know what that means. I have heard it before. Maybe in older movies, maybe my grandparents say it, but it is a little old fashioned. You don't hear it very often said commonly. Wouldn't you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah. And Kadir's fantastic. Kadir has been one of our listeners for, oh my gosh, I think 5 years. So thank you to Kadir for sending us this question. You know, guys, if you have more questions for the show, send them to Lindsay at allearsenglish.com. We want your questions because that's what makes the best episodes, right, Aubrey?
Yes, it's so true. You guys have such good insight as you're out in the world speaking English, hearing idioms, maybe in old movies and wondering, do people still use this, right? Yeah. So let's first dive into the meanings of the word trifle, because you guys will hear that word and it has a few different meanings. The first is the one Kadir's talking about, something that's of very little value. Yep. You will hear that, like, don't bother her with such trifles, but it is a little old fashioned.
Yeah, you know, it must be old fashioned, honestly, because it's not in my vocabulary. I think of the dessert.
Yes, right? That's the other one. Do you like trifle? Guys, trifle is a sponge cake dessert that has layers of custard and cream, or maybe cream cheese, fruit. It's delicious.
Okay. I got confused just there. I meant truffle, like the dessert the mushroom. And
oh,
I don't
that's
know.
Funny. No, those are truffles.
Truffle.
Yeah,
trifle.
This is trifle, guys, spelled T-R-I-F-L-E. You definitely want to download the app so you can get all this good vocab today. But yeah, it's a layered dessert. They usually do it in glass. It'll almost look like a punch bowl has this layered dessert in it with beautiful layers of sponge cake and fruit.
Oh,
we actually had
gosh.
One recently that my sister-in-law has a German exchange student, a 17-year-old girl who's doing a year of high school and living at their home.
Right.
And she made the most delicious trifle I've ever had. It had cream cheese and was so flavorful. She said her mom makes it all the time in Germany.
That sounds insane.
To die for. Yes. And it was like raspberry. It was like raspberry trifle with oh my heck, it was delicious.
Oh, wow. And the sugar, right? You shared with us before.
Sugar.
You love sugar. And I love it too. I can't resist a good dessert. So now I'm feeling kind of hungry. So we better finish up this episode and move through it.
You can go make a trifle. So there's one other way to use it, and it's a verb, which means to treat something without seriousness, where you'd say, you know, she is not a teacher to be trifled with, or don't trifle with that. It's not important. So it's a very high level, interesting verb. You will hear it.
Okay.
It's not used super commonly, but I definitely hear it. I like this word.
Yeah, I love it. So guys, that is the word trifle. And our part of our role here in All Ears English is to show you what words are out of date. You know, what words are going to make you sound like you come from the 1600s,
right? Exactly.
And what words are going to make you, like, what do words mean? What do they say about you when you use them? So Aubrey, we have some other options for Kadir today, right?
Yes, exactly. Because it's a little old fashioned to say, don't argue over trifles, but you do want to talk to this. If someone starts arguing with you about something that really isn't important, this is a good thing to be able to say.
Yes.
So one thing that I would say is maybe those details are trivial, meaning they really aren't important, right? If we're having a discussion and someone's really arguing about little things, I could say, I feel like those details are really trivial.
Yes.
That's not what we should be focusing on.
Yeah, this is what I always say about trivia when I can't get the answer. Oh, it's trivial. Who cares?
I
don't need to know that.
That's very punny. It's a good play on words. That's trivial.
It's trivial. I don't care. So that's the first one, guys. And we definitely, so now we're giving you the ones, guys, that you should 100% write down. You'll see them in the app and you should use these. Don't use trifle. It's too old, but use trivial. The next one I love, and for a long time, I didn't know how to pronounce this, I have to admit.
I think a lot of native speakers don't. They see this written and they're like, so yeah, the word's minutia. Minutia.
How
do you say minutia or minutia?
I say minutia.
Okay, I've heard both.
But
minutia, I think I hear more often with that soft I, minutia.
Yeah. If you guys are not in the app, you're not going to get a chance to see this, or if you don't have the transcripts. But just so our listeners know, Aubrey, how do we spell this word?
Yes, it's spelled minutiae. So it's kind of a strange looking weird word. It's hard to know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And what's really tricky is the plural, which is actually sounds the same, minutia, but without the E. Minutia is the plural. That's
I did not know that.
It breaks all the English rules.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm learning a lot from you, Aubrey, on this show. I did not even know.
I love it.
I thought that was both plural and single. I'm not sure what I thought, but
crazy,
now we're
right?
learning. This is good.
Now we're
so
learning.
Minutia.
So this just means, right, small, precise, trivial details about something.
Yep.
So I've often heard it used in the phrase, let's not argue over this minutia, because we use it most specifically about that when someone's sort of bringing up details that are too trivial, right? They're too insignificant. Be like, now you're just arguing about minutia.
Yeah. But Aubrey, are you someone that likes to hang out in the details, or do you, are you more of a big picture thinker? Because I know people in my life who can stay big picture, and when they see details, they say someone else can deal with that. But I struggle with that.
Oh, how are interesting. You? That's a good question. I probably am more of a worrying about the minutiae person. Okay. Yes. I think my personality, I'm good at tackling all the small details or something, and I sort of need someone else to see the big picture and give me that vision. I'm willing to admit that about myself. That's why I have you, Lindsay.
Yeah. I love visions. I love big pictures, and I want to be there. I want to dwell in that world all the time as like a dreamer. But sometimes the details hook me and I get hooked, and that's when I'm not my best self, is when I get pulled down into the details.
Yeah. Because that's where you can spend so much time, right? All the minutiae can really take the time to figure out all the little things. That's a good point.
So for our listeners, guys, I mean, we can talk about this at the end, but think about, where are you at on the spectrum? You know, are you a big picture thinker? Do you want to dwell in the visions, the big ideas, the big pictures, or do you do best in the details, in the minutiae? You should know that about yourself and your role at work, right, Aubrey? That really matters.
For sure. And neither is wrong, right? But you want to be able to speak to that as well. If you're in an interview and someone's asking you about your strengths, you want to be aware of what they are and be able to highlight how that makes you a good fit.
Yes, 100%. And know the role that you're interviewing for and make sure that your way of thinking makes sense for that role, right?
Totally. Yep, for sure.
It is a true connection skill to be able to mirror someone's enthusiasm in English. But to be able to do it, you need the right vocabulary and strategies. Lindsay and I show you how to do it in an episode coming up soon, which you don't want to miss. So make sure you hit follow on All Ears English. Just hit the follow button wherever you like to listen, and we'll drop right into your listening queue.
Okay, we have one more. This is a really fun idiom, splitting hairs, which means to argue about something trivial or unimportant. This actually came up the other day with my twins.
Okay.
They had this friend that they wanted to buy them hats. They were talking about how their friend was going to buy them hats at school. They were doing like a fundraiser, and you could buy these Dr. Seuss hats at school that are really tall and colorful.
That's so cute.
And I said, I don't want you to ask him to spend his money on you. And they said, it's not his money, it's his mom's money. And I said, you're really splitting hairs there. They were like, what does that mean?
You use that phrase with your, your 6-year-old?
I knew they wouldn't know what it meant, but I was like, this is perfect. I will teach you this idiom here.
I love that. And were they able to like get it when you taught it to them, or did
they got it. I made it really visual for them. So I said, imagine, I was like, take one of your hairs and imagine splitting it, you know? And so they were like, okay, we understand. I was like, you're arguing about a detail that doesn't matter, whether it's his money or his mom's money. Don't ask him to spend money on you, please.
That's so good. All right. I love it. So splitting hairs, right?
I think we talk about this a lot with lawyers, politicians, right? If they're taking an argument and instead of really talking about what's important, they're splitting hairs by talking about details that aren't really significant.
Oh gosh. Lawyers drive me nuts sometimes. Working with lawyers. Oh no.
I can't help but think about this phrase. Bill Clinton's really famous for this quote when he said, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. Oh. That is splitting hairs.
Is that a famous quote? Okay. What was he talking about in that?
No. This was about the Monica Lewinsky trial.
Of course.
So, and he was, you know, trying to make excuses. And then he said this very famous phrase, because everyone's rolling their eyes about that. Like, really? You're splitting hairs about the definition of the word is?
Oh, yeah. He looked like a fool in that trial. The only quote I think of with him is, it's the economy, stupid. Maybe that's not Bill Clinton. That might be someone else, actually. But anyways, so the Monica Lewinsky trial was quite a drama, guys. You know, you can read about it from the 90s, but we all just, we like to forget some things.
Yeah,
right?
It's funny, though. It was interesting because I was in Europe right after that happened, I think it was. And a lot of people would ask me about it because they thought it was so foolish of Americans to be so bothered by it, because their leaders often have mistresses and they're like out and proud about it and no one cares, right? It's so cultural. It's such a different culture. Whereas in the United States, we're like, how dare he have a mistress?
Yeah. And actually, that would make another great episode. We should do an episode on that. You know, it's
that'd
kind
be
of
fun.
like cultural norms and rules in American culture about, about affairs or about what we expect our politicians to be and do and how we expect them to live. It's really cultural and different between Europe and the U.S. completely.
Oh, yeah.
The expectations.
And I'd be really curious how it is in other cultures. I know Europe a little bit, but a lot of cultures I don't know.
I don't know if South they would America, care. Asian cultures, very interesting. So guys, make sure you hit follow on this show to get these great topics. It's a lot of good stuff is going to be coming up in the next couple months, right, Aubrey?
Yes, for sure. Okay, we have a fun role play here where Lindsay and I are roommates and we're divvying up household chores. This is a fun verb, divvy. What does that mean, Lindsay?
Divvy up. So it comes from divide, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Divide up and share. Divvy up. But guys, this is natural and real slang. So good
yes.
stuff.
And again, make sure you have the app because this word is spelled so weird. It's D-I-V-V-Y.
V-V-Y.
I don't know if there's any other words where there's a double V, like divvy.
Who would think it would be double V? Know. That makes no sense, but we'll
and
go with it.
Why is it? It makes no sense. English, guys. I'm so sorry. I apologize on behalf of the English language. It's so weird. Okay, let's go here. I'm going to start us out. I know it's annoying to have to deal with this minutia, but we're both so busy, so it'll help if chores are assigned.
For sure. It seems trivial to have a tidy house, but I can't relax if there's clutter around.
I know I'm really messy, so I'll try to work on that.
Yeah, you do your dishes maybe 10% of the time.
I'd say at least 15% of the time.
That's definitely splitting hairs. Yeah, 10, 15.
I love this passive aggressive role play where you're trying to say like, you do not clean up after yourself. I'm like, I do sometimes.
Oh, give me memories of the days of having roommates in New York.
Totally.
Yes.
So bad. I know. Roommates in college. I had some terrible experiences.
It can be really tricky. It could be really tricky.
Funny. All right, guys. Okay. These are such fun phrases. Mm-hmm. Definitely better to use. Not outdated. You'll hear these all the time, but also really high level to say minutia, to know what that means and throw that into conversation or divvy. These are really great high level words.
Exactly. And just to go back and share real quick for our listeners, you said first, you said, I know it's annoying to have to deal with this minutia, but we're both so busy, right? So it'll help if chores are assigned. So here you're saying it's hard to deal with these details, minutia. Good stuff.
Yeah. And you said it seems trivial to have a tidy house, right? It seems like unimportant, maybe not necessary, but you're just explaining, but I can't relax without it. So it is important to me.
Yeah, I do feel that way sometimes. If I want to focus on my work, I have to have a zen room. Like I have to have things
tidy
cleaned up
first.
Yes.
Yes.
And then the last thing, you're talking about the difference between 10% and 15% of the time you clean your dishes. And I say, that's definitely splitting hairs, right?
Yep. Yeah. So you're saying, okay, you're avoiding the actual argument here, talking about the tiny change in the percentage. This is a great example of splitting hairs, right? You're talking about something that doesn't matter.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So what's the takeaway for our listeners, Aubrey?
Yeah, some phrases do go out of fashion. This is a great podcast to be listening to find out which those are and send in your questions if you have any doubt, like arguing over trifles. It is outdated. So keep up with new and native ways to say something so that you can build those connections in English. So like you said, Lindsay, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast.
Exactly. And then don't forget, guys, think about the way that you think as a professional. Are you detail oriented or are you a big picture visionary, right? So because that's going to determine your career choice and where you should go within a company in terms of your role. So take a little time to think about that and get a little insight. I love this idea of understanding ourselves at work, Aubrey.
Yes, I love that. You need to have thought about that before an interview, before you start at a job. Have a good, clear understanding of what your strengths are. And if you're a big picture thinker or you're better at diving in and getting some tasks done, better at the minutia.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for hanging out today, Aubrey. I'll see you very soon.
Yep, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.